critical market update.
Is the crypto market about to crash, or are we about to reach new all-time highs?
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey. Because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leverage trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
Views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Beanpod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we bring to you a critical market update, analyzing everything you need to know to decide whether Bitcoin and crypto are about to crash or we're about to see all-time highs. So make sure to stay tuned until the end.
Yes, we have been on point, I think, with our market predictions over the course of the previous year, factoring in inflation, the macro data, ETF narratives, what's BlackRock doing, all these things. And it's allowed us to paint a really good, clear picture for our investment thesis and why we've been bullish for the past year and a bit. Buying the bottom and finding, you know, the best altcoins, dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin, all these things. And I think our listeners have done really well having tuned in and paid attention to what we were saying.
For sure.
I mean, we're not experts. We're just guys who speak our minds. We do a lot of hard research. So if you guys can hit that like button, that'd be greatly appreciated. But let's jump right into what we're seeing today at time of recording.
Yeah, so I think this is a very, very interesting time in the markets and why we decided to release this episode today. Because things are changing, right? Obviously, the market is dynamic. There's a lot of factors. But now that, you know, okay, we've gone through the Bitcoin halving, it's happened. We're coming up to an election year. There's interesting things happening with, interest rates. So there's a lot to discuss. So this is a critical, critical episode. So the first thing we should talk about is obviously the macro economy, because what happens with the stock market and the macro affects Bitcoin and in turn, all the altcoins. All the altcoins that we know and love, it all comes from the macro eventually, right? So one of the huge things, huge talking point over the last few years has been obviously inflation and interest rates. So what are we seeing right now with inflation and interest rates that's potentially bullish or potentially bearish for the markets?
Well, we've seen inflation had a little spike back, like, but it was expected about a month ago. And that's what kind of had Bitcoin like cooling off a little bit, because now there is like this anticipation, hey, are we going to see any rate cuts at all? But several months ago, when we were expecting rate cuts, that's when Bitcoin is ripping, right? Because the dollar is going to fall and all these things. But now we're starting to see inflation cooling again. And with that comes the expectations that we're eventually going to see rate cuts again. And that expectation of rate cuts is what is leading to risk on behavior.
Right. Because as they drop interest rates, borrowing of money gets cheaper, so risk assets can, in theory, flourish. Now, it's an interesting discussion when you talk about the effect that interest rates have on the stock market, because the general consensus, and if you look at it from, you know, just a faraway perspective, you think, okay, interest rates get cut, money are easy to borrow, risk assets go up. Now, that isn't always the case, but it isn't always not the case either, right? There's no hard rule. So they cut interest rates if the economy is doing poorly. So sometimes, even though the rates get cut, the market can go down with the rates. And in turn, if the market is going up, they can start raising the rates. So prices can go up with rates. But also on the flip side, if the market is going up, they can start dropping rates, because if they think the economy, everyone's hoping for a soft landing right now, right? So they think, oh, the economy is actually doing well. We can drop rates. And that's the holy grail, the economy doing well and rates dropping. That we'd really see a risk on rally. But no one can know for sure which one it is, which is why this analysis is so important.
Yeah. Luckily, what we have been seeing is inflation is coming down with expectations because they keep manipulating the data.
That's right.
So, weren't you saying something before we filmed this episode? It was like the price of coffee is too high, so they just removed it.
Yeah. So anytime, you know, obviously the real numbers of inflation that we see, they just don't seem to match what we see in our everyday lives. Like we go to the grocery store, prices aren't coming down.
No, they say the exact same.
Prices are going up, if anything. But yeah. Oh yeah, inflation's coming down. And yeah, it just came out that they removed certain commodities from the basket of goods that they calculate inflation. Coffee prices are soaring through the roof. They're like, you know what? We'll take coffee prices out.
Yeah.
Look, inflation's coming down. We're just going to cherry pick these certain products and commodities to match our numbers and to, you know, to make us look like we're doing a good job. So, you know what? We know at the end of the day, it's all a show. Everything's a set. It's all a farce. But we just have to kind of position our assets accordingly.
Yeah. So as we've kind of alluded to in previous market updates, we are continuously watching to stay in this Goldilocks zone, looking for the anticipation of a rate cut because that is considered to be a bullish event. Now that we're seeing inflation coming down with expectations, we can anticipate in the near to midterm future, there will be a rate cut. So you can expect risk assets, the stock market, et cetera, everything to continue running up until that moment. I don't think we're there yet because it's still, you know, we're still a percentage point away from getting inflation to where it needs to be. Positive signs coming out of Canada. You know, it's inflation is now sitting around like 2.7%. So we're really close to like getting it there. I think we still keep seeing the risk on assets until that moment.
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about the Goldilocks zone since that first crypto 2024 crypto predictions we did. We said, as long as we stay in this Goldilocks zone, as long as inflation starts to cool, I think we're going to continue to see a rally and nothing's changed. Right. Yeah. So then moving on to what I would consider to be the next big talking point right now. And it's the upcoming US election, right? Election years can tend to be volatile depending on who is expected to win the election. This is something we talk about in the show a lot. Markets don't like uncertainty, right? They want to know what's going to happen. Now, in this case, it's a bit interesting because the challenging president, Donald Trump, he's already been in power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the market kind of knows what to expect if he comes in. And the interesting thing about Donald Trump, first of all, he's leading the polls. Now, this is not a political episode. We don't even live in the United States, so we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about how it affects the markets, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Donald Trump is embracing crypto, right? Or at least he says he is.
Yeah, they always say.
That's the important thing. We're not talking about what's going to happen after the election year. We're talking about 2024.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen in the buildup to the election?
Yeah.
So if we have Donald Trump leading in the polls and he's embracing crypto, that is a bullish sign for crypto. Regardless of your political stance or what he actually does when he gets into office, the fact that he's saying he's bullish for crypto and he's leading in the polls, that for me is bullish.
Yeah, it's kind of like what always happens with marijuana stocks every time we get closer to election. They start to use this as like voting bait. So, oh yeah, we're going to decriminalize. And then you see all these marijuana stocks, they start to rip leading up to these elections. But then they actually don't follow through and do anything. So that's where I start to be a little bit more cautious after the event. But again, like we said, we're talking about everything leading up. And this is a short to midterm calculation based off of our analysis.
Yeah, for sure.
Trump is already now accepting crypto payments as donations. Man, look at like what was it, Ukraine or Russia or something was doing, how much money they raised via crypto donations. And you know, there's some wealthy crypto people out there.
He's got his Trump NFTs.
How easy is it to just start sending a guy money via these wallets? What, like, how much harder is it to do with fiat or something? What do you have to like contact some administrator?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know.
Like, I wouldn't even know where to start. But if I see a wallet, here you go. Here's 100.
I mean, he's got that. He's got his Trump NFTs. Clearly embracing blockchain technology. He just went out and he had a direct quote about how he wants to embrace it. So yeah, I think, you know, another bullish sign for the rest of the you know, the near to midterm, I think, is the election. The fact that Trump might win. I think in the election year, you know, there's certainty on either side. So I think that's going to continue with our bullish thesis here.
Yeah. And then this whole thing about the where the election is going, how Trump is fully supporting crypto, and then how realizing how many people are now pro-Trump because of this. Like, the crypto army is pretty big, you know, and it's growing day by day, especially as when you look at, I think it was 52% of nation's largest hedge funds now own Bitcoin.
Right.
Within America. That's a lot. I think it's like 973 different hedge funds or something, financial firms, all disclosed recently that they have Bitcoin holdings. The amount of power and influence that these people have, you know, it's now starting to attract the attention of wealth managers, asset managers, all these things. So you have to be pro-crypto, otherwise you're going to lose votes.
I mean, think about it. We were talking about this yesterday. BlackRock and all these top companies that run the world, they are very publicly buying Bitcoin, embracing crypto. They said they're tokenizing everything. You know, these guys have a big say in how America is run. So if one candidate is saying, look, we're embracing this too, these guys are going to be throwing their ponies behind this person, right? So a lot of these things are lining up for, a continued pro-crypto rally in that regard as well.
Yeah. At time of recording, this is right before the Ethereum ETF is either approved or not approved. I think like the first one is May 23rd. BlackRock has until August 7th, I think it is, to have the approval date. Like that's a deadline for approval date. But it seems as though this Ethereum ETF is now being expedited for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
BlackRock is 576-1.
Yeah.
When it comes to ETF approvals, it's a 99.83% chance that it's approved.
For sure.
The fact that anybody's even second guessing whether or not it's going to be approved is honestly beyond my imagination. I don't understand how anybody can think that it's not.
Well, you know, the way that people think at a lot of the times is hard to comprehend. But that kind of brings us to, you know, the next point, which is really like, okay, there's the Ethereum ETF narrative. There was the Bitcoin ETF narrative and there was the Bitcoin halving cycle, right? Yeah. So these things are kind of, I think, all interconnected in terms of how the crypto market is moving right now. So for the duration of this year, since really last year, we've seen Bitcoin really leading the way, right?
Yeah.
Bitcoin has been the leading asset. It's been very stable, you know, quote unquote stable for crypto, because we've seen the institutions buying Bitcoin. The ETFs were approved. All that happened along with the halving cycle. The halving happened, you know, a month and a bit ago. So it was all Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. We really haven't seen that alt season. You know, if you look at alts compared to Bitcoin, they're lagging significantly.
Oh, huge.
But this could be where it switches, right, with this Ethereum ETF narrative, because, you know, a lot of these big altcoins are built on Ethereum, or their ETH pairs are tied to Ethereum. So if you're going to see Ethereum start to pump, then eventually the profits are taken and the real alt season. So we could be seeing a narrative shift here spurred on by the Ethereum ETF.
And there's a big narrative around tokenization. Just look at what Larry Fink is saying. Look at how he is talking about tokenizing everything. The Bitcoin ETF was just the first step to tokenizing everything. They already had their Biddle fund on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. Like when all these things start to get tokenized and all these RWA projects and DeFi and all these things, they're all going to be ripping because they're all built on Ethereum, all these projects. And once Ethereum gets a green light, it's kind of green light for like all of crypto, really.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, going back to the Bitcoin halving cycle, I feel like, you know, there's this saying, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And when you go back and you look at the previous Bitcoin halving cycles, there's always this period, like a pullback and consolidation after the halving completes. And this is when people turn bearish, you know, these idiots out there. They're just like, oh yeah, bull run over 1 month after the halving cycle. This has happened like 3 or 4 times, whatever, before. It happens every time. It's the same thing. And we just experienced that. You know, Bitcoin went down and touched about 57K. That was the shakeout. People were turning bearish. I could see it in my comments. See you at 40K. See you at 30K, you know? And then boom, at time of recording, we've bounced right back. And the real fun starts in the 6 to 12 months after the halving. Not the 1 to 2 months after, right? It's 6 to 12 months and beyond. That's when silly season can occur. And there's so many stars aligning between the election and the Ethereum ETF and now the halving cycle. There's a lot of things that are continuing to make us bullish for crypto and risk assets in general.
After the Bitcoin halving, what that means is that the rewards are cut in half. So these miners, which were typically getting, I forget the number off the top of my head, but let's say they're getting 1 Bitcoin per day per Bitcoin mined, that has been halved to 0.5. So currently, the weekly, there's 3,150 being mined, but by the ETFs, there's 14,000 Bitcoins being bought. So the demand is outpacing the supply.
Simple economics.
It's like
demand, supply.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Like the amount of demand coming in through these ETFs is crazy. And typically, there is a little bit of a sell-off after the halving because the miners have accumulated a bunch. They got to cover their costs. That's and all right. These things. But now it's the amount of energy and effort required to mine a Bitcoin to get rewarded with that only, you know, that 0.3 of one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it to be selling it. So now the miners start to hodl what they're actually accumulating and will sell, you know, a year or 2 years from now. Not yet. So we're also seeing less selling pressure from the miners right now.
Yep.
You know, Riot blockchain mining company, ticker Riot, they like quadrupled their mining capacity from last time.
Right.
Like they're going to be turning out Bitcoin. They're going to be hodling them and they're not going to be selling. And You know, for the first time, as just we talk about like the supply and the demand, the grayscale inflows have now started to come back in.
Right.
We've been seeing outflows for like 3-4 months.
The ETFs.
Right. So now we're starting to see inflows from grayscale. So there's a ton piling in and there's not a lot going out.
And one of the things that I see as a rebuttal to why this bull market will have a massive run-up like the past ones have, some people, they always point to, you know, in 2020, they were printing trillions of dollars, right? That's why, that's why crypto went up so much, because COVID lockdowns, stimulus packages, money was just being printed, dropped out of air, and that was going into, you know, dog coins and NFTs and all kinds of crap. And they say, well, there's no money printer this time. Well, the replacement for that this time is institutions. It's institutional money flowing in first to the Bitcoin ETFs, soon to Ethereum ETFs, and by way of people taking profits from their Bitcoin ETFs and their Ethereum ETF holdings, it will flow down to altcoins. It happens every time. There will be an alt season. It's not going to come from money printing. It's going to come from institutional money flowing into, hopefully, legitimate projects.
Yeah.
You never know. But there's just so many things. And then the final kicker to really just top all of these, in our opinion, bullish indicators off, is the M2 money cycle, right? The liquidity in the global markets has turned positive for the first time since early 2022, which is when the markets tanked. And this is a multi-year cycle, which has been observed for many decades.
Yeah.
It's just, it's the ebbs and flows of the markets. People push their money in for multiple years, and then certain things happen in the economies or in the global macro trends, and they start to pull it out. They push it back in. You can look at the chart. We'll pull it up
here on
the
screen. It's like every 4 years.
We'll pull it up here on the screen. You can see from this image that we're just at the start of a positive liquidity, global liquidity cycle. And that is extremely bullish for crypto.
Yeah, I mean, that just it times up perfectly well with the Bitcoin halving every 4 years, the cycle and all these things. Yeah, it's like right now everything's pointing to up higher.
Up and to the right, baby.
Up and to the right. And it's pointing, that's just it's the way it's pointing.
Yeah.
We're having regulatory clarity coming out, you know, MiCA regulations. We have the convergence of AI and crypto, blockchain technology, and the requirements for that as well. So when you have like the futures exchange, CME launching at Bitcoin trading, you got, I even noticed that the Australian Securities Exchange is transitioning to blockchain-based.
It's happening.
Settlements, PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, all
it's
integrating.
Finally happening.
All integrating crypto. These are the things we've been saying for like 3 years now. Like it's coming, the institution's coming. This is what's feeding the market right now. It's all the billions upon billions of dollars are being sent onto the blockchain, into Bitcoin ETFs, into the Ethereum ETFs. And that's just going to, I think it's going to provide a huge spike for Coinbase. You know, I can see a ton of retail trading coming in again. And I think it's just, overall, everything's looking really positive for the market.
I feel like people get so caught up in following the wrong people on social media that share these bearish charts and they say, oh, look at this fractal or look at this fib retracement. It's going to send us down liquidity. But like that's why we do these critical market updates, is because to really understand what's going to happen, you need to zoom out.
Yeah.
You need to zoom way out and just look at the money cycle, the liquidity, the election trends, the interest rates, the inflation, the things that control not just crypto and Bitcoin, but the entire global economy, right? And when you zoom out, you can actually understand that things are setting up very well for a continued risk on rally for the duration of 2024. Beyond that, things will change. But what we're saying here is that we have been bullish for a long time, and it's been working out very well for us. And if you've been following, I'm sure you've probably made some money. But I think we're going to continue to see that. And look, if things change, we will make sure to update you guys. So it's important to be subscribed, follow us on all of our channels, because we tend to provide these market updates at the critical times.
Yeah, we're not grifters. So make sure you guys tune to the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.